Anybody happened to be up late enough last night to see what happened in the Michigan football game? A few of you did? Okay. Anybody? All right. Anybody a Michigan fan, by the way? Nobody that I don't see any hands. Okay, good. All right, oh, one. All right. Well, y'all, I mean. Okay, here's the deal. Michigan right now is ranked number 16 in the country. They should have, at the end of the game last night, not been ranked anymore. They were playing Western Michigan. Western Michigan has never, in the history of their football program, never beaten a top 25 team. Western Michigan has played Michigan, going into last night's game, 8 times and lost every single time, usually by a lot. Western Michigan, sorry, Cliff, they won the game last night. It was 12-7. The Michigan quarterback heaves the ball from like the 50-yard line, and the ball goes out of the back of the end zone. The Western Michigan players hit it, and it goes out of the end zone. Game's over. And then the referees say, no, let's go look at the clock. Let's go look at the replay. And they put 1 second back on the clock. Game's over. Western Michigan has won 12-7. For the first time ever beating Michigan, for the first time ever beating a top 25 team, they put 1 second back on the clock. Michigan quarterback, almost the exact same play. Scrambles around for a second, heaves the ball all the way down the field, and about 6 guys jump up for it, and a Michigan player comes down with it in the end zone. They win the game. That's amazing. And I felt, Western Michigan got robbed, is all I'm saying. Because, I mean, there was no time left. Sorry, Cliff. There wasn't any time left, man. But here's the thing. They got the victory. Why? Because they got another chance. They got another opportunity. The game was over. They had lost. I mean, there's 100,000 people in the stadium, and it was silent. They were shocked at what had happened. And then they got another chance, and they win the game, and the students rush the field, and it's this huge celebration because they got another chance. Second chances are pretty awesome, aren't they? I mean, think about in your lifetime when you've gotten a second chance to do something. Maybe you had a job interview, and it went horrible the first time, but you get another chance, and you kind of fix it. Maybe you said the wrong thing. Maybe you said something hurtful to someone, and they give you a chance to reconcile. They forgive you anyway. Maybe you made like just some awful decisions with your money, but you've been given a second chance to correct that, to change some spending habits, to do something different. There's a lot of different areas in our lives when we get second chances. When there's a time you're on a certain path, you've taken a certain action, you treated somebody a certain way, and maybe it wasn't the best, or maybe it's not even something that you need some kind of forgiveness for or reconciliation for. Maybe you're just on a path and you're just given an opportunity to kind of switch and to do something different, become something different, go a different direction with your life. You're given a new opportunity. You're given a second chance. And that's what we're going to start talking about today and for the next several weeks. And most of the time, when we think about second chances, especially when we think about how God gives us second chances, most of the time we think about like forgiveness, right? That I have done something. I've done something to hurt myself, to hurt somebody else. I've done something sinful. I've done something wrong. And God provides forgiveness through Jesus, as we have celebrated already today in our worship. God washes me clean. God gives me another chance. I'm wiping the slate clean. Here's an opportunity to do something different and to kind of fix what you have been doing and kind of fix the mistakes that you made. And we're going to start over. And I'm so glad that God does that for us. I'm so glad that God gives us, I mean, how many chances, honestly? It's more than a second chance, right? And thank the Lord, He loves us that much to do that for us. But there's other ways that God gives us second chances. Sometimes God gives us just an opportunity, as I said a minute ago, to just go a different direction. This is the path that I'm on in life. These are the choices I'm making. This is the career path. These are the people that I connect with and have a relationship with. This is maybe the volunteer opportunities that I take advantage of. And then God put something on my heart. You remember the last few weeks that we talked about doing something? When God lays a burden on our heart and causes me to feel like there's something God is calling me to. That's a second chance. That's a new opportunity. Here's the path that I was on. It may not even be a bad path, but God says, here's something that we're going to do different. That is another opportunity. It's a second chance. Sometimes it's just a guy gives us just a chance to do something new. Here's a new service opportunity. Here's a new way to connect with somebody that needs that connection. Here's an opportunity for you to share your faith, for you to share your story about what God is doing in your life. It's another opportunity. It's another chance. So beginning today and going over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about second chances. We're going to talk about these different opportunities that God gives us to do something different, to be somebody different than what we have been doing. And one of the, I guess, each one of these lessons that we're going to share together, we're going to look at a different Bible character and see how God gave that particular person a second chance or a new opportunity to do something different. And we're going to start out this morning with the story of Jonah. And I'm guessing that for many of us in here and many watching online, that the story of Jonah is fairly familiar. As a matter of fact, you've been a part of the Flagstone family for at least a couple of years. We went through this together as a church family in our connection groups 2 years ago. All of our connection groups spent, you know, weeks talking about the story of Jonah and learning different things about him and about how God, connects with us and calls us to different things. We see that through the story of Jonah. And so I'm guessing most of us are pretty familiar with the story. But just in case you're not, or in case you forgot, Jonah is talked about in the book of Jonah. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles or scroll there in your Bible apps, that's in the Old Testament, probably about two-thirds of the way through the Old Testament. There's a little four-chapter book called Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet of God, meaning that he was giving messages by God to share with the Israelite people, God's chosen people, right? And so we don't know for sure if it was just something that he sensed or if God audibly spoke to him, but he had a connection with God that was different than other people. And he was given these messages by God to share with God's people. And then God comes to him at one point and says, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and I want you to talk to them about changing their lives. Tell them that they got 40 days and then they're going to be destroyed. Now, here's something you need to know if you didn't know about Nineveh. Nineveh was not part of Israel. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians at this time were starting to build strength and power and expand their territory. The Assyrians were known as just ruthless people. The people that they conquered, they destroyed their cities. They slaughtered people. They slaughtered innocent children. I mean, just awful people. And God sent Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to the people of Nineveh, this capital city of the Assyrians, and I want you to tell them that they got 40 days and then they're going to be destroyed. And Jonah, in response to what God called him to do, goes a different direction. He runs. Matter of fact, he runs as far as he can. He gets on a boat and tries to go to the opposite end of the Mediterranean Sea. He's in Israel on the eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea, and he's headed for a city called Tarshish, which is in modern-day Spain. He's getting as far away from Nineveh as he possibly can. God causes a storm to come while the ship is at sea. The ship is falling apart. The people, the other guys on the ship are fearing for their lives. Jonah says, I know what this is. This is God causing the storm to come because I'm running away from him. So the way you fix it is you throw me overboard. They don't want to throw him overboard. He says, throw me overboard. They throw him overboard. Guess what happens? Storm stops. Everything is calm. But then God causes a giant fish, probably a whale, to come and swallow Jonah. Jonah spends 3 days inside this fish. And then it vomits him up on dry land. And that's where we find Jonah in Jonah chapter 3. Beginning of verse 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Notice that. A second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. This is Jonah's second chance. God gave him the opportunity. God called him. God said, here's the message I want you to share with the people of Nineveh. Go share it with them. Jonah's like, no, thank you, and tries to go a different direction. God foils those plans, sets Jonah back on dry ground again, and says what? This is your second chance. Go talk to the people of Nineveh. Go give them the message that I said. So Jonah doesn't ignore. This time he goes. He goes to the city of Nineveh and he preaches. Now, we'll put a pause on Jonah for a second. As I said, the people in Nineveh, they are these awful, sin-filled, ruthless people who don't worship God, who probably don't even know who God is. And that's who Jonah goes to talk to about God. Jonah comes and he preaches this message. He walks through the city, and all that we know that he says, he may have added more to it, we don't know. All that we know for sure that he says is 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Maybe he just says that over and over as he's walking through the city. But God has given the people of Nineveh, through this message, a second chance. Right? They are sin-filled, they are hateful, they are vindictive, they are ruthless. And God is not just destroying them with no warning. God has given them an opportunity. God has given them a second chance. And they take advantage of it. These people listen to Jonah's message. And they take hold of the second chance that is given to them. Look at Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5. The Ninevites believed God, and a fast was proclaimed. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Wearing sackcloth was a sign of mourning and a sign of repentance and remorse. The whole city says to this God that they may have never even heard of before, "We are so sorry. We want to do something different. We want to be something different." And in a way, it's almost Thanksgiving. Thank you for the second chance. Thank you for the opportunity. Let's start over. Let's wipe the slate clean. They take advantage of the second chance that was given to them. Both Jonah and the people in Nineveh were in situations that they didn't need to be. Jonah was running away from God. He got in a situation where he didn't need to be as he was trying to run away from the direction that God was leading him. The people in Nineveh, they didn't know that they were on a path they weren't supposed to be on, but they were still where God didn't want them to be. So both of them were given a second chance by God. Both Jonah and the people of Nineveh had the opportunity to hear God's call, to see what it was that he wanted them to do, and to act on it. And that's what I want us to see this morning as we're starting to talk about these different second chances. I want us to see how we can react. When God presents me with a second chance, how do I respond to that? What are the ways for me to respond to that? Well, one thing that I can do is I can reject the second chance. I can just be like, you know, no, thank you. I can ignore it. I can walk away from it. I can convince myself I don't need a second chance. I'm fine. I don't need a new opportunity. Things are going fine the way they are. And instead of taking advantage of God's call to grace or to forgiveness, instead of taking a hold of the opportunity that God puts in front of me to do something, to help somebody else, to do something different in my life, to be somebody different than I already am, I reject it. I walk away from it. Maybe I'm at a point in my life where, I mean, things may not be awful, but I'm just kind of stuck. I'm at a dead end. And I don't feel a lot of joy. I don't sense a lot of enthusiasm. I'm just kind of floating through life right now. And God may be putting an opportunity in front of me to change that, to recognize his presence, to be more active in my community, to be a better presence in my family, to do something more at this church. And I'm like, nah, this is just the way things are. And this is just who I am. This is the way things are just going to continue to be. Maybe my marriage is struggling. Maybe things are going on in my family. Maybe my faith is struggling. I got doubt creeping in. And God is saying, but I want to show you my presence. I want you to see what I can do in your life. And I hold on to the doubt instead. Maybe I've got a lot of anger and resentment that's built up. And instead of taking advantage of the opportunity that God gives me to reconcile, to have a conversation, to work through some things, to forgive and to let go of all this anger that I've been holding on to, I hold on tighter. I become more resentful. I reject the second chance that God has given me to do something different. I mean, God talks about this with his own people. And Paul talks about it in the book of Romans over in the New Testament. He's actually quoting one of the Old Testament prophets, but he says about God in Romans chapter 10, verse 21, he's basically quoting what God said to his people 100 years before. And Paul says, this is still our problem nowadays. All day long, God says, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. The guy is constantly saying, if you'll just grab hold of my hands, I will pull you out of where you are in life right now. I will pull you out of that situation. I will rescue you from the trouble that you're in or the trouble that you're causing. I will bring you out of it. Just grab hold. We'll do something different together. And we slap those hands away. We reject it. Because it's going to be too much work. Because we're too comfortable. Because we think we don't need it. God offers me a second chance, and I may reject it. Or I may accept it, but I might do it grudgingly. I mean, I'll do what God is calling me to do. I see the change that he wants me to make. I recognize the person that he wants me to interact with or connect with. I see the thing that he wants me to get involved with or the different direction, the different path I need to get on. I see it. I recognize it. I just don't want to do it. But I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. And he may have to drag me kicking and screaming towards it. Or I'll do it, but I'll do it through gritted teeth and clenched fists. And, ugh. Really don't want to do this. And folks, that's so common for so many of us. That God gives us the opportunity to change a habit about ourselves, to reconcile with somebody that we've been in conflict with, to take advantage of a new opportunity to serve and to help and be a blessing to other people. But we don't want to let go of control, and we don't necessarily want to go through the process of changing a habit, and maybe we're still irritated or angry at that person, and we don't think they deserve any kind of a second chance from us, so we're not going to take advantage of the second chance that God gives us. Or if we do, man, we're going to be frustrated, we're going to be angry, we're going to be sour through the whole process. And technically, I may be taking advantage of the second chance, but my heart's not in it. That's not what God wants from me. I mean, if you think about it, this is what Jonah did. Jonah spent 3 days inside a whale, gets spit out on dry ground, and God says, okay, now let's try this again. Go to the city of Nineveh, give them the message that I've given you to give to them. Does Jonah go? Yeah, he does. Does Jonah want to go? No, he does not. Again, I don't know if there was more that Jonah could have said. The only sentence that we have, the message that he preached was, 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. I mean, I don't even know if Jonah was like, hey, God's going to forgive you. We have a loving God. We have a gracious God who's ready to forgive you. You should give your life to him. I don't even know if that was part of Jonah's message. God may have said, tell those people they got 40 days, they're going to be destroyed. And Jonah's like, got it. And that's all he says. He did what God wanted him to do, but he did it grudgingly. How do we know that? Because of what Jonah did after he shared the message. He goes through for a few days sharing this, proclaiming this message. But then his hope is that these Ninevites are not going to change and that God is going to just wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what he wants to happen. How do we know? Look at Jonah chapter 4. After he preaches this message, and after the Ninevites start making changes and getting in sackcloth and asking God for forgiveness, it says in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 5, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city, and there he made himself a shelter, sat in a shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. That's a really kind way of the author of the book of Jonah to say Jonah was ready for the fire and brimstone or the locusts or whatever it was going to be. He's sitting outside the city because he don't want to be in the city when it happens, but he's hoping that it happens. Bring it, God. Destroy these people. Did Jonah do what God called him to do? Did Jonah act on the second chance? Yeah. Was his heart in it? No. And that's not what God wants from us. That's not what God wanted from Jonah. So I can reject the second chance altogether, or I can accept it, but grudgingly accept it, or I can fully embrace the second chance that God gives me. Not just half-heartedly accept it, but fully embrace it, fully give myself to it. Choose to be all in, whatever it is. Whatever it is that God is calling me to, whatever the change is, or whoever the person is I need to connect with, whatever the ministry is, whatever it is, I know this is a second chance. This is a new opportunity that God has given me to do something different than what I'm doing now. Man, I'm all in. I don't even know exactly how it's going to turn out. I'm not even for sure exactly how I'm supposed to do what I know that he's calling me to do, but I'm going to do it. This is my chance. This is my second chance to do something different. You see people throughout Scripture actually taking advantage of these second chances from God in that way. One that stands out most clearly to me is Zacchaeus. You find him in the book of Luke. That's in the New Testament, in the book of Luke in chapter 19, where Zacchaeus was this tax collector that all the other Jewish people hated because he's collecting taxes from his fellow Jews to give to the Roman government. So that's one reason that they hated him. The other reason was he overcharged people and kept the profit. He cheated people. He charged them more than they actually had to pay, and then he kept all that money for himself. So, yeah, you would probably hate that guy. And the other thing we know about Zacchaeus is he was really short. And in a time when people in general weren't really tall, to be a short guy among not tall people, he was really short. And so people were hateful to him. People hated him. They told him how much they didn't like him. They told him how rejected he was by God, not just the people around him. They probably made fun of his height. They probably took every opportunity to just trash on Zacchaeus. And probably in response, in anger and frustration, Zacchaeus took more and more advantage of other people. Call me short, will you? Fine, 10 more dollars. And he could do it. He had the authority of the Roman government behind him. Zacchaeus is living this life of being dishonest and being hateful and being resentful, but also being hated and resented until he meets Jesus. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Jesus shows up in town and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. And Zacchaeus is like, me? And probably other people are like, hey, you know that's the short tax guy, right? You know that's the guy that is dishonest. You know that's the guy that cheats his fellow Israelites, the people of God, out of their own money. You know that, don't you? Jesus goes to dinner at Zacchaeus' house. We don't know how long he was there. We don't know what all they talked about. We don't have any idea. We just know what happened to Zacchaeus through that meal because what happened at the end of that meal. Luke chapter 19, verse 8 says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus was given a second chance. He was given a new opportunity. He was given an opportunity by Jesus to do something different and to be something different than what he had been for years. And he didn't reject it. And he didn't say, all right, I'll stop cheating as much. I'll only charge what they're actually supposed to, you know, get, I guess. He says, I'm going to take my stuff. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to give half of that to people who are less fortunate than me. And anybody that I cheated, I'm not just going to pay them back. I'm going to pay them back four times what I took. Folks, that is fully embracing the second chance. Do you see it? Jesus isn't dragging Zacchaeus into this change. Zacchaeus is willingly stepping into it and saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to be something different. I'm ready to be somebody different. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the second chance. And that's what we're called to do. That's who we are called to be. that when God puts an opportunity in front of us, when we've been making mistakes, when we've been doing things that God doesn't want us to do, and God says, here's a second chance. Through the power and the blood of my son, I want to forgive you. I want to give you the opportunity to be somebody new, to do some things that you haven't done before, to change some things about yourself, that we fully embrace that. That we fully experience that forgiveness of Jesus, that we fully experience washing our having our sins washed away by his blood and having his spirit living in us. We fully embrace that. When God gives us a second chance to do something, to be active in our community, to help other people that can't take care of themselves, to help with this church in ways that we ask for help, and we see the opportunity, we say, I'm in, let me help, let me volunteer. Put my name down. Put my phone number down. I'm ready. I'm in. I'll do whatever it is you're calling me to do. We fully embrace that second chance. That's what God is calling us to. That is who God is calling us to be. Now, here's the question real quick. How do I get in a better habit of fully embracing my second chance? How do I get better at that? We can spend a lot of time on this morning. But I'll give you a few ways to start, and then we'll wrap up. If I'm going to fully embrace the second chance, the new opportunity that God has given me, the first thing I got to do is pay attention to the opportunity. I need to have open eyes to see what God is doing for me, the opportunities that God has put in front of me. I need to listen for his voice, listen for his call. I need to pay attention. I keep referring back to the series that we just got done with, but it's such a good way for us to move into this new series, this call that God puts on our hearts. I want you to do something. I want you to change something about yourself. I want you to be somebody different. I need to listen for those opportunities. I need to pay attention. I need to see it. And for some of us, that's one of the big things that keeps us from taking advantage of the second chance, because we don't even see the second chance. We don't even pay attention to the opportunity that God puts in front of us. We're not listening to the people that God puts in our lives say, hey, you could do something different. You could be somebody different. We're not even paying attention to that. In the book of John chapter 9, Jesus, there's a story told of Jesus healing a man that was blind from birth. And at the end of that, after that whole event, Jesus is talking with his disciples and with the crowd around him, and he says, he talks about spiritual blindness. He says, there are people who can see God in his presence in their lives, and there are people who can't. They're blind. And the religious leaders that are listening to Jesus say, look at him, and they say, so are you saying that we're blind? Are you saying that we can't see God's presence, that we can't see what God is calling us to and who God is calling us to be? Are you saying that we're blind? And here's Jesus' response in John chapter 9, verse 41. He says, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. He says, it'd actually be better for you if you were blind. If you couldn't see the second chances that God has given you, you wouldn't be as guilty then. But the problem is, you're not even paying attention. God is putting the opportunity in front of you to do something different, to be something different, to grab hold of a chance to bless other people, to embrace faith in God's Son, and you're rejecting it. You're not even paying attention to it. So that's the first question that I got to answer. Am I even being given an opportunity by God? Am I even looking for it? Do I even recognize that I need it? If I do, then the second thing I got to do is surrender to it. I need to surrender to whatever it is that God is calling me to. I need to be humble enough to acknowledge I need a second chance. I need forgiveness. I need reconciliation. I need to serve. I need to take advantage of these opportunities. I need to change something about myself. Whatever it is, I need to surrender to that. Jonah had to surrender his plans and his prejudices to God. The people in Nineveh had to surrender their lifestyle. They've been living for generations. They had to surrender that to God. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And when God puts the opportunity in front of me to change, when God gives me the second chance, I need to be humble enough to say, thank you, God. I needed this. I may not even realize it, but I need this change. I need to be somebody different. I'm willing to go whatever direction it is you're calling me. I'm willing to do whatever it is you're calling me to do. I'm surrendering to it. And the third thing that sounds almost like, well, duh, but it's so important, is to act on it. If I'm going to fully embrace the second chance that God has given me, then I have to do something. I have to act on it. When God says, I'm willing to give you forgiveness, I'm willing to give you another chance, then I need to embrace that. I need to act on it. I need to say, I want that forgiveness. Wash me clean. Create in me a clean heart. Give me a brand new start. And then do something different. Be something different. When God gives me a second chance to give more to this church, to volunteer more in this church, I need to act on it. I need to recognize God is putting this opportunity in front of me. I need to grab hold of it. I need to step into it. When God gives me the opportunity to reconcile, to forgive somebody that I'm angry with, that I'm in constant conflict with, when He gives me the opportunity to be the bigger person and humble myself enough to forgive that other person and to try to reconcile in some way, I need to act on it and not hold on to that bitterness anymore. Whatever it is that God is calling me to do, I need to do it. I need to act on it. I need to take a hold of the advantage that He puts in front of me. When Jesus healed the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, the guy that had hundreds, maybe thousands of demons inside of him, this man that lived in the caves and lived in the graveyard and used to scream at people and tear his clothes off and just be this crazy guy. And Jesus casts these demons out of him. And he's in his right mind, and he's fully clothed, and he's completely a different person. And the rest of the town where this guy lived tells Jesus, we need you to go now. We don't want you around here anymore. So Jesus gets in a boat with his disciples to get ready to leave. And this guy that he's healed, this guy that had years of these of torturous living with these demons, begs Jesus for the opportunity to go with him. And Jesus says, no, you need to stay here. I'm giving you a second chance. You've been set free from these demons. Now go tell people what God did. So what does he do? Mark chapter 5, verse 20. The man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Jesus gave him new life. Jesus gave him a new opportunity. Jesus gave him a second chance, and he acted on it. I mean, just this verse right here says he started telling people. Yeah, I was the crazy naked guy that used to live in the caves. That was me. But I met Jesus. Let me tell you what he did. He told so many people that two chapters later in Mark, Jesus comes back to the same area. And these same people that said, we need you to go away, are now coming in droves to listen to Jesus and to bring other people to him for him to heal them. Why? Got to be because of the demon-possessed guy, right? Because he acted on the second chance that he was given. He did something with it. He took advantage of the opportunity. If I'm going to fully embrace my second chance, I've got to pay attention. I've got to see it. I've got to recognize my need for it. I've got to surrender to it and say, okay, I'm going to stop being on the path I'm on. I'm going to go on this new path now, whatever that looks like. I'm going to act on it, fully step into it and act on it. That's how we're going to start taking advantage of our second chances. And this is what we're going to continue to talk about for the next few weeks. And I hope you can be back with us every single Sunday for the next few weeks. Because we're going to talk about not just second chances that come through forgiveness from God, but second chances that come through opportunities that are given to us by God. And how we can become more consistent in taking advantage of those new opportunities, those second chances. My guess is that there's, if we were really honest with ourselves, that there's probably several people in this room this morning and people joining us online right now or later on this week or later on this month to see and tune into this lesson There's several of us that probably need some kind of a new start. Some kind of a second chance. My guess also is that some of us who need that second chance probably don't realize it. Or maybe even don't think we need it, even though we do. And I want us to be, as we wrap up this morning, we're getting ready to wrap up and to sing a song together. Because here in a minute, we're going to stand up together. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a praise to God. It's a song that comes straight from Scripture about listening for the voice of God and acting on it when we hear Him. But my guess is that maybe several of us here could be doing something different, could be being called right now by God to do something or to be somebody different than what we are in this moment. And maybe through our time together in His Word this morning, we're starting to recognize that, man, I need a do-over. I need a new start. I need a second chance. I recognize it. I need it. But again, maybe there's some of us like, I'm doing fine. I'll just keep going on the path that I'm on. That's good for other people. I don't need that. Here's a really cool thing about our God. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 15 about a guy that's got a bunch of sheep, and one of them becomes lost. And He doesn't say how that sheep becomes lost. Maybe it wandered off. Maybe it stayed where they were and the shepherd went where the rest of the sheep and turned around and wasn't there anymore. Whatever the reason is, this sheep is gone. To be honest, that sheep that is lost may not even know that it's lost. Sheep aren't the brightest animals in the world. And it may have found some really sweet grass to chew on somewhere and not realize that everybody else has gone a different direction. Doesn't matter. The fact is, the sheep is lost. So what does the shepherd do? Does the shepherd say, boy, I hope that sheep figures it out. I hope that sheep looks around and realizes I'm not with the rest of the flock and I should be. Does the shepherd say, that's that sheep's fault for getting lost. That sheep made its own choices. That sheep made that bed and now has to lie in it. Not the way Jesus tells the story. Jesus says, no. The shepherd goes and looks for, hunts for, pursues that sheep and rescues it and brings it back where it needs to be. That shepherd gives that sheep a second chance that the sheep may not have even realized it even needed. And as we wrap up this morning, I want us to think about that. I want that to soak in. Because so oftentimes we picture God as saying, I will give you a second chance if you come looking for it. Once you recognize that you're in a bad spot, then you come back to me. And once you come back to me, then I'll give you a second chance. That's not the picture that Jesus paints. Jesus says we have a God that chases after us, that pursues us, that calls to us and says, you need a second chance. You need to be different. You need to be on a different path. You need me to rescue you. Let me come get you. That's the kind of God that we have. And that's the kind of God I want you to experience this morning. If you have become lost in some form or fashion in your life, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in your own, just how you see yourself, whether it's in your relationship with God, please know my God is pursuing you. And one of the ways He may even be pursuing you this morning is to hear His word calling out to you and saying, I'm ready to rescue you. I'm ready to give you a second chance. Let me grab hold of you and bring you to where you need to be. And so we're going to stand together. We're going to sing a song. And while we're standing together, if you want to take hold of that chance, you know God is putting it on your heart right now, you're welcome to come to the front and share that with us. And we will help you embrace that new opportunity, that second chance. We'll do that now while together we stand and sing.